Championship. At the moment, we've kind of just been skimming over some of the areas. We're going to look at some of the roles, the specific roles of each of the key roles that are applicable today. And then towards the latter part of the study, in a few weeks, God willing, we'll be looking at the what makes an elder. How can we see who would be an elder, a deacon? Also looking at the responsibilities for the church as well. Just as a kind of a refreshing, we were talking about the authority. Authority of what we are studying now, of course, is the authority of Jesus himself. If you remember, we began the study a few weeks back where we talked about the one that descended and ascended, which shows you the authority by which this study and certainly this important topic refers to in regard to leadership. We looked at how Jesus exercises his authority. So if you remember, kings, they exercise their authority through taxes and through armies, and that's how they show that authority. But of course, through Jesus, he exercised his authority through his word and also through the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism. So the Holy Spirit is another way in which that is exercised, that authority. And so this is very important now as we go into this study. We're going to start looking a little bit deeper. Each week we'll get a little bit deeper in, so that we don't overflow ourselves with too much in one go. And then we can sort of work it through understanding, hopefully a better understanding of leadership. Elders. The responsibilities of an elder. An elder is to exercise the leadership of the Lord in the local assembly. So that is the responsibility of an elder, to exercise the leadership of the Lord in the local assembly. In other words, that responsibility belongs to the elders with reference to spiritual well-being. Spiritual aspects of all of the guidance that comes on that. We're going to look at some of this in the study today. It's an interesting overview of what we're going to look at. Now, the Apostle Paul, missionary journeys, you know how many missionary journeys he had?
Four.
Yeah. I'm holding my fingers. I'm giving it away there. So the Apostle Paul took four missionary journeys. They're all recorded in the Bible. The first three are recorded in Acts. If you went into Acts, you'd see the records of those. The fourth one is mentioned in Paul's letters, so he refers to that in his letters as well. Over the course of his ministry, the Apostle Paul travelled more than 10,000 miles. Now, he didn't have a speedometer, a mileometer attached to his shoes, but you can calculate that roughly by knowing where he'd been. And the distance between the places that he'd been. It could be a lot more than that, but it's just an understanding of that. That was the duration or the distance kind of travelled if you look at the locations. And he established at least 14 churches. The first, second, and third missionaries go from Acts 13 all the way through to Acts 21, and then Acts 21 deals with, I shouldn't say, Acts 27 through 28 talks about his missionary journey to Rome. But this is the thing, this is the point that I want to refer to this. On Paul's very first missionary journey, he established churches in places like Lystra and Iconium, these places. And this is his first missionary journey. On his return, he appoints elders. So that kind of indicates the priority of eldership. You know, right, when you look at all these missionary journeys that he did, we see right at the offset, right from the start, that he is appointing elders to shepherd over the church. And that was the priority, that was important. And so we can pick up from that and say, well, you know, how important is it to us? You can have areas and places where they can have many, many years of no eldership within these congregations. It could go on for a long, long time. And so we see this and we see the priority of that. And obviously, as the Apostle Paul sees it, we can learn something from that. But clearly, there is something important about this this appointing of elders within congregations. There's something specifically critical about this task that the Apostle Paul saw as important as well. Now, Luke writes, well, let's have a look at this passage. Let's do that. Okay, let's look at our first passage this morning, Romans 8, 28. Go ahead and read that.
So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed and fasted, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed.
Okay, so eldership is something that was a kind of a priority, you see here. So when they had appointed elders in every church, in other words, this was something that was a priority. This was something that was critical and important. Now, I want you to notice a word in there. It says there, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They commended them to the Lord. Now, if we go to the translation of the word, so this is, I took this from the Strong Concordance that from sometimes I use. The Strong Concordance uses a word for commended to a word called sunistemi. I don't know where I'm pronouncing that as the way it should be, and a kind of a sunistana. But what it says is this, the word translates to commend, to establish, and stand near. It means to place alongside. Now, if you remember when we started this study, do you remember that we said that the Lord gave some to be apostles, some to be a prophet, some to be evangelists, some to be elders, and teachers. And if you remember, we talked about this giving where we can sometimes look at the word give where we think of him just giving these jobs out, giving these responsibilities out, like you'd hand out a cake or a piece of cake. But the actual translation of the word he gave is translated, he set in place. He set in place. And so it's very important to understand this, because if you think back to how he set in place these responsibilities, then here in our verse, here, it says they commended, in other words, they placed alongside. So what did they place alongside? They placed men alongside that which was set in place by Jesus Christ. And so it's important because these men were placed alongside Jesus Christ. The authority was from the one who descended and ascended. The roles were set in place by him for elders and deacons, or certainly in the context of the passage we're looking at, elders and evangelists. These roles were set in place, so they were set in place by him. And then we see how, like the Apostle Paul, they were appointing these men to be leaders of the church, and these men were placed alongside. So when it says they commended them, they placed them alongside to the Lord in whom they had believed. And this is repeated again in Titus as well, when Paul instructs the evangelist. Let's just have a look again at that as well.
For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint others in every city as I commanded you.
Okay, so it's the same principle. The same process again, that these elders are set in place and commended, so they're put alongside that which was set in place by Jesus Christ himself. And so what's important about that then is in understanding that eldership is something that was set in place by our Lord himself, those who were appointed to be elders were set alongside him. So they were given they were placed alongside the authority by which that role came in to be. And so all of that then, you see where he said, what did he say? I left you in Crete that you set in order. You put in order. You set in order. In other words, that you lay alongside men, alongside the one who set in place and gave these roles, the things that are lacking. And appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. And the Apostle Paul, again, remember, the very first missionary journey he had as he established those churches. He went away, he came back to Lystra, the first thing he did was he appointed the leaders and elders to shepherd over the church. And so that was something that was important. The words in the New Testament that we're looking at suggest the exercising of leadership is important in the church, because it's all about leadership. What we have to establish through our study is what kind of leadership are we talking about? You know, because if I said leadership, you'd have lots of things in your mind. You'd think, oh, leaders in my workplace, or leaders in the universities, or leaders in the councils. But are we looking at the same thing here when we're looking at these roles? Because there are different kinds of leadership. And so eldership isn't the all. Eldership isn't the top rank. Eldership is one of the responsibilities within the plan that Jesus had set in place. And so all these different roles, including the role for the Christian, the saint, as I called it, the Christian has a responsibility that is set in place for you as well. And that is a responsibility for each one of us as Christians to be able to serve God. This is about order in the body. And this is about this being done through leadership. So it suggests the exercising of leadership. It's all about leadership. Leadership needs to be set in order, and it needs to be set in place. However, it has to be done correctly. And through that, it comes through teaching, through development. As I mentioned the other week, and you know, as we're going through your study, you might say, you'll sit there and say, that excludes me. You know, that's me out. Not at all. This is about, the Christian walk is about development. It's about change. We'll come across things in our life and you think, yeah, I'm not so good at that. I'm not patient with people, and I'm not a good listener, and I can lose my temper, and that takes me. But these are things that we can grow and develop to be better people, so that we can be the people that can serve in this way. Now, leadership is so important. Why? With reference to the Apostle Paul and him appointing leaders in the church, was because of Christ's church, his recognition of the fact that this is Christ's church, this is his flock, this is his sheep. And so, let's have a look at this passage.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Okay, so later we're going to look at this aspect of how where it says among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. But this is the key that I'm looking for right now. Take heed to yourselves. Okay? Evaluate your situation. Take heed to yourself and to what? All the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul refers to them as shepherds and pastors, overseers. We'll look at that. But he suggests they shepherd the flock. Now, for brothers aspiring to be elders, brothers who are looking at eldership, I want you to seriously think about what this passage is talking about. You know, sometimes we can get the wrong vision of what eldership is like. You know, the elder's the guy in the fancy suit and he's up the front in the chair, and He'll be the one that a shepherd is the one in the field. A shepherd is the one in the field. So the shepherds of this congregation will be men who are amongst the people. The shepherd will be the one that is on guard, looking out for when a sheep is wandering away to go and guide it back. The shepherd will be the one when the enemy is coming and he's standing at the gate waiting. He's waiting for the enemy. The shepherd is the one that when one of the sheep has hurt a leg, he'll be helping bind the leg, helping to support, to heal what that problem is. Maybe even helping carry that person around. The shepherd is the one who's going to be in the field with the sheep, amongst the people, amongst God's people. And that's just one aspect of it. It suggests they shepherd the flock. And Paul sees men like that. That is how Paul sees men, the shepherds. You know, these are men who, you know, this is why he talks about desiring. We're going to look at this in later studies about having to desire it. This is a big responsibility. This is something that if you aspire to this and you're striving towards this, this responsibility is a great one. It's an immense task that is being undertaken. He also refers to them as bishops and overseers. I think a good example of this in Luke 9, we won't read this because there's a lot in here, you can make a note of it. Luke 9 verse 28 through 36 talks about the transfiguration of Jesus. In this passage, prior, Jesus predicts his death. And then we have what we call the transfiguration that took place. You know, it says about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John and James with him and went upon a mountain to pray. This is Luke 9, 28 through 36. And you can read this later. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. And that in itself was a study of itself, you know, something that we can address one day. But this is the key I'm looking for. In verse 34, it says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen, listen to him. Now, when Paul refers to elders as overseers, bishops and overseers, the word originally meant overshadow, and it's used in reference to this account that took place on this transfiguration, and it's used in reference to the bright cloud that we just read about. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so the cloud that we read about, where he says while he was speaking a cloud appeared and covered them, when Paul uses the reference of overseer, it's the same word, it's the same reference. And this is the point, is this, that this cloud covered the people, completely covered the people. And an overseer, with reference, if we use it with reference to the Bible, then what the Apostle Paul is visualizing is men who come over the people. They come over like a cloud over the people. They cover the people. And we hear back in the passage, if you remember, and it's not directly linked to this what subject, but it's the same reference. So the cloud that overshadowed the people, the same reference is used when it talks about overseer for an elder. He's talking about, I want this covering of the people, this protection of the people to to protect my people, to protect my to protect the Lord's church. And so it's used in reference to that transfiguration day. Now, to look at it a little bit more, the word overseer comes from a Greek word called episkopos, episkopos. That's the Greek word. And it's only used a few times in the New Testament, but I want you to know that it has a significant meaning to help us to understand leadership in the church with that word. So when we see overseer there, it appears five times in the New Testament. It means overseer, guardian, and bishop. And it's used by Jesus, the reference to Jesus, 1 Peter 2, verse 25. He says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." And so here, this whole aspect of it, when we look at this, the translation, we see that this is an important function that is here and that is used even by Jesus Christ himself in reference to what overseer is, and with reference to what this task is in order to serve over God's people. It's also in other places of individuals who are functions of leadership as well in the church, so it's not just specifically on this role. And so, and as I say right now, we're skimming over because I don't want to consume us too much, but think about what we looked at so far just this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul saw the importance of elders within the church, that he, on his, after his first missionary journey, he'd done four, but after his first missionary journey, he goes back to put in place these elders. That was the importance of it. We've seen the passages where it talks about elders were being appointed in all the churches. In all the churches. That was important. We saw how these men who were going to be being overshadowing the people. They were going to be shepherds of the flock. They were going to be in amongst God's people. They're going to be in the field with the people. They're going to be the men who are going to oversee. And when we talk about then, the importance of having a desire for this, this is a big responsibility that will be taken by men who are striving to develop and become people who can serve in that capacity to be able to do this ministry work. And so, you know, we understand then from this the importance of it. You know, that we see even it being referenced to Jesus Christ himself and other situations like that. Let's look in Acts 20, verse 17.
"From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church."
Okay. Another word we see here, so we see overseers and bishops, we see shepherds of the flock, men who oversee, we see the word elder, older or wiser or mature. Originally this was used in scripture, and you'll come across it from time to time. It's interesting because what you see in the Bible is you see the mind of God. When you look through the Bible, you see the mind of God. You see how God always had a plan for good leadership within his people, for his people. And so when we find these words and we can look at examples, older or wiser, does it mean he's got to be an old man? It means he's got to be a mature man. It means that an elder will be a man with experience. An elder will be a man who has experienced things in his life. Now, it could be that there's a younger man who's had a lot of maturity, maybe been through a lot in his life. and maybe fix all the criteria. We're not going to go into all that right now, because we're going to come to that later. But when you think of elder, older or wiser, mature. So the shepherds will be people who have the maturity to be able to support. They're not going to know everything. They're not going to know everything. And they're probably not going to tick every box. That's why you have multiple elders. You may have one elder that's a lot more patient than another, another elder who's a better listener than the others, you know. But the thing is this, elder is older or wiser and maturer. It was originally used to the patriarchs in the Old Testament, the patriarchs. There's so many different things that we can look at here, but the term patriarch comes from a Greek word. It comes in two breakdowns. It comes as patriarch and arch. And of course, you put the two together and you get patriarch. So it's two words brought together. And it means father and ruler or chief. So it kind of indicates, maturity, for sure. Even just seeing that with reference to father and ruler or chief. Remember, this is not the plan for elders today, but this is an example of how God saw people of his time in reference to that. A patriarch refers to a male head or leader of a family, tribe, or even a community. In biblical context, patriarchs played a crucial role in the early history of the Israelites. So you'll often hear teachers refer to patriarchs. The patriarchs, they are the prominent figures from whom the 12 tribes of Israel trace their lineage. So when you look at the lineage of the 12 tribes, they trace it through that lineage. With reference to that. The biblical patriarchs include Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was also known as Israel. And the 12 sons of Jacob who became the heads of the 12 tribes. Now, the point is this. These men were older and wiser. They were experienced. That was in them times. Now, God in his wisdom, because he is a wise God, and when God and our Lord is set in place or set in order, elders to watch over his church, he's going to be looking for the right people. And when we look at the examples in the Old Testament of how he went about these things, we can see then the importance of it. Another example, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a Jewish religious council during the times of Jesus and in the early years of the Christian. It was the highest council over the religious, political, and social aspect of Jewish life in biblical times. Again, the Sanhedrin were older and mature. The term Sanhedrin is derived from another Greek word called Synhedrion. Synhedrion, meaning assembly or council. Interesting. You know, elders is not elder. We wouldn't appoint an elder. You know, we would appoint elders because that's what the Bible teaches. It's more than one. When you look at the examples, even the Old Testament times, when you look at the way God had things, you know, you see even these things here, you know, that they were a council. The great Sanhedrin was consisted of 71 members who met in the Jerusalem temple, and they played a significant role in the governing of the religious affairs of the Jewish people in the first century. So these were older or wiser. That's the key. That's what we're looking at, older and wiser. So when we're thinking of eldership, then we have to consider this as well. You know, maturity. But as I say, it doesn't mean that an elder has got to be an old man. You may have a maturer middle-aged man. who's been through an awful lot and experienced a lot and seen a lot and fits all the other criteria that are laid out that we'll be looking at in future studies. And so, again, that is something that is important. Remember, all of these roles that we're looking at, each one of them have an important part to play, including the Christian, the saint, including you. Whether you're an elder, whether you're a deacon, whether you are a Christian, we all have a responsibility to play. And so these roles are not brought in to take over and roll over and take charge and make all the decisions. Not at all. Not at all. As I said before, the elder will have nothing to do with the central heating in this building, or what colour the chairs are, or when the walls are being painted. No. They're the spiritual shepherds. They're responsible for looking after the spiritual well-being. When someone's awoke, they lift them. When somebody needs prayers, they go and pray with them. When somebody needs guidance through situations, they can open the Bible and say, listen, this is what the Bible teaches. Let me guide you through that and help you through. And then, so that's an important role. You'll have deacons that they're going to be taking care of the central heating and doing all the different roles and maybe going out and distributing money and helping people in the communities in that respect. The ministers, as we look, you know, the preachers proclaiming the gospel, teaching the gospel, sharing the good news, setting things in order as well. Do not undervalue the authority of an elder. With all that said, okay, the words used to describe elders all have a definition of leadership, responsibility, and authority. And as we go through this study, you'll see that. Remember, we've looked at it, that they were set alongside Jesus himself, the one who set in order, the one who put in order these responsibilities. And so, you know, leadership is a responsibility and an authority. The church has a responsibility to the elders and leaders. And this is very important, very important. The church has a responsibility to the elders, to the leaders, and this responsibility is a responsibility in action. In action. The church has a responsibility to all the roles within, not only within, but amongst themselves as well, with each Christian brethren. It's very important. We have to be very careful how we treat our leaders. Be careful what we do. Be careful how we go about things. You know, if an elder comes to you to tell you some advice and help you, and wants to sit you down and guide you through something, you need to be prepared to sit down and listen with thankfulness. And we may have to make some changes. And it might be that someone's going to come along and make you feel really bad. And maybe going to tell you something. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about you. You've got to change this. Because what's that person doing? That person's looking out for my spiritual eternal life. Well, sometimes stubbornness gets in the way. And so we have a responsibility. Be very careful how we treat our leaders. Because God will hold us accountable. And we will look at that in a bit more detail. Let's look at the passage.
And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves.
Okay, it's quite a lot in there. You could do 3 week studies just on these few verses, literally. And we urge you. That's the importance of this. This is something this is something that needs the attention. Brethren, church, talking to the Christian. Recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. you know, think of that in reference to that, recognize that those who are guiding us through this walk, you know, our shepherds will be the ones that will be our spiritual guides. There are men who walk alongside with the authority of Scripture and are guiding you through there. And he says, recognize those who labor among you. Recognize them. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, which is always one of the key things. Paul's instruction begins with the attitude that they must have towards their spiritual leaders. Paul says, you know, we must respect those who labour among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This is a wide group of leaders here. Those who work among you, those who are over you, and those who admonish you are to be respected. The word means to regard them favourably. Spiritual leadership is difficult. It's difficult. And a weighty responsibility when brothers say, I'm going to aspire to this. And if they're chosen, they meet the criteria and they're shepherding over this, That load that they carry, that weight that they carry is intense. Because they are men who have to give an account to God for the people within the flock that they are shepherding. And remember, they are overshadowed. They're overshadowed. And there they are in the midst of these people striving and aiming to lead God's people to salvation. This journey we're on is tough and difficult. It's not an easy journey, we all know. And so to have people there overseeing us and watching over us is a blessing. Have you ever been in an insecure situation? I can remember many years ago, I was traveling and we were doing gospel campaigns, and I got there so late that I went and found this hotel in Scotland, and I just raced in there and I just booked myself in and I went in this room, and it was like a war outside. There was yelling and fighting. I sat up all night. I could barely sleep, you know, with the commotion going on around. I couldn't wait to check out in the morning. And yet I've been in other establishments where I've been there, and you get there and they've got security and they're welcoming, you know you're safe, and the door's locked behind you, and it just feels the right environment. When we have shepherds, we have men who are overseeing the people. And so those who work amongst you, those who are over you, and those who admonish you are to be respected. Because what these mean, when we look at this translation favourably, we're talking about spiritual leadership. People who are here not to exercise their power, but people there who to say, listen, I'm in amongst you, and I'm watching you, and I'm going to be there for you. And when you go astray, I'm going to give you a little tug, and I'm going to pull you back. And when you hit rock bottom, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to take care of you in that way. Spiritual leadership. You see, it's often a thankless work. Paul says to regard them favorably and esteem them highly, verse 13. Men who love this flock, and some very big challenges that they undertake for the well-being of the church and for the well-being of individuals within the church. Large challenges, conflicts, sins, relationships, burdens, trials, difficulties, people going through conflicts, arguments. And there's these spiritual men who take this task on, overshadowing and coming in as shepherds amongst the people and amongst the flock. I want you to notice that he says right after that, to be at peace among themselves, as we see there, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, the peace is the key. You notice the importance of that. This seems to give us a picture of the problem. And quite often this can be a problem within congregations, is there's no peace. There's no peace. There's always conflicts and wars and things going on. But this is about God's church, how the Lord designs his church and sets in place this for a specific reason, because he knows that if these shepherds are the right shepherds according to his will, and they are in amongst these people, that peace will be there. And we, as Christians, have the responsibility as well, so we can have this peace among ourselves. And we need to think about how many times various people within Israel, do you know what they did? They rebelled against God's leaders. Many examples in Scripture. You could pull lesson after lesson after lesson where the people rebelled against their leaders. And it always ended back. Every time. It always ended back. And so that is why God in his wisdom sees this with reference to his church. The importance of this harmony with the leaders and this working with the leaders. You know, we are called to esteem our spiritual leaders in the church highly and regard them favorably because of the work that they are doing. 5:13, so be at peace with them. And be at peace with them, and be at peace with yourself with reference to that. You know, why may elders, men who have already taken on this incredible task, why would we not want to be at peace with them, support them, and be at peace amongst ourselves? And if we can get that right, then it brings everything into place. Let's just look at this, we're just getting close to our time.
Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as you must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit.
Okay. An elder doesn't come and collect his paycheck. An elder doesn't get financial gain. An elder is an elder who's there because of his love for the church and for God's people. And these are men who have been chosen because of their abilities. So that is why we're going to learn about how we identify an elder. And how you can strive in that respect. And then what does it say? When you've got these right people there, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because their authority is through the word of God. And we remember that this is a role that has been set in place, and they've been laid alongside him. And so have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Okay? They have to give an account as those who must give an account. They have not only do they take this responsibility, but they give an account for what they have done. So do this so that their work will be a joy. You know, why would you make their work harder than what it would already be? That is our responsibility. When we get into this in more study again, we'll see some of this, because we have big responsibilities as a church as well. And so do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to who? To you. And so the role, the responsibility, or this blessing of an elder is a big responsibility for the brothers who undertake this, but it also is a big responsibility for the congregation as well, because all of this is for you. This is for the church. This is for God's people. And so do not be divisive. Do not be a problem. The leaders are serving you and working for you. They are not working for themselves. They're not working for themselves at all. I heard a teacher many years ago when I was in some lectures at the Bible school, and one of the teachers said to me that, you know, sometimes he teaches eldership and tries to talk people out of it. because that shows the true spirit of the person who says, listen, no matter what you say, this is something that I'm going to aspire to protect God's people and to care for God's people and nurture. And so they should have a high regard because of the work they do. There is to be a wonderful relationship, brethren, between the leaders and the flock. That is not the flock rebelling against the elders, nor the elders telling the flock or lording over them. It's a relationship together, because we are living in the light of eternity and we are working together in respect to it. Okay, we're out of time, brethren. I do apologise. I'll try and find a little bit of time in case there's any questions. If there are any questions, you can drop me a message or you can speak to me after, and I'll try and answer those at the start of the next class that we have together. Brother.